welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'm talking to Mike Lepore about his family's Thanksgiving vacation to Walt Disney World in this past November, Thanksgiving 2014. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks, Aaron.
So, Thanksgiving trip, you know, it's one that a lot of people talk about because, you know, it's a school break, so it's easy to get away. A lot of people talk about it, too, because it's a little scary because of the crowds. So tell us how you came to the decision to make a Thanksgiving trek to Walt Disney World.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff you just mentioned came to mind. We had talked about wanting to do something over the holidays, you know, see the Christmas season at Disney. And you know, my wife is pretty big into family at Christmas time, so we always do stuff here. And so we were looking for some sort of break that we could do without pulling my son out of school. He just started middle school this year, so he's 11. And, you know, they don't really accept a lot of absences anymore, so we had to sort of work around the school schedule.
Okay.
And, you know, we were looking for somewhere to do that, and it seemed like Thanksgiving was a pretty good opportunity.
All right, so you settled on Thanksgiving as a good time to be able to get a family getaway without having to pull a kid out of school. How many days did you decide to, you know, do this vacation for?
Well, we had planned really 4.5, but it turned into almost a full 5 days.
Okay, okay. Just because of travel schedules, or?
Yeah, so we ended up, our plan was to actually leave right after he got out of school for a half day on the 26th, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then, you know, we were going to get down there that night and just sort of do dinner and really nothing crazy, just kind of hang out, and sleep in. But, you know, this winter has been a little crazy up here in the Northeast, and it started back in November.
Right
over Thanksgiving, we were supposed to get this crazy ice and snowstorm. So we actually ended up changing our flights the day before. I was talking to my wife, and we were flying JetBlue, and they waived all the change fees for the day before.
Oh, really?
And
nice.
Yeah, so we logged in and found a first thing in the morning flight to get down there. And so we were on like a 6 a.m. flight or something like that, and ended up pulling him out of that day of school, even though we were trying not to.
Right.
We just decided we didn't want to worry about flight
not
delays and problems. Yeah, exactly. So we stayed down at the airport, which is about an hour away from here, the night before. And it was a good thing we did, because at about midnight that night, my phone started beeping because our previous flight had been canceled completely.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we wouldn't have gotten down there till sometime on Thanksgiving otherwise. So that was fortunate that we decided to make that change just the night before.
And see, rebooking flights that time of year with the travel volume is so high that, you know, even getting rebooked on another flight within 24 hours is a challenge.
Yeah, we were really surprised that it was as easy as it was.
So you went earlier, which is what saved you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was really nice, actually. We've had some trouble traveling JetBlue with delays and stuff like that, but this particular time it was really nice of them to take care of that, you know, and just offer, hey, we know the weather's going to be bad. If you can hop on, go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so you got into Orlando. Instead of it being kind of a lost day and just getting in for the evening, you had this extra day. Now, let me step back to the planning stages of this trip, because you know, when you were putting this together, obviously your plans were not to be in a park on Wednesday, it sounded like. So, you know, was this the first family trip you'd taken with the full, you know, FastPass Plus system and the advanced booking windows and all of that?
Not exactly. We're DVC members, so we have annual passes down there. My wife and I had gone on a couples trip like a month before.
Right.
And then we had been, I think, in August of the previous year of 2014 as well, just for a quick trip. So we kind of knew. It was April. It was Easter. And so we kind of knew what was involved with FastPass, but it wasn't that big a deal for us to tweak things.
Good.
Our family's a little weird, too. We're not, my wife especially isn't into a lot of the crazy rides. So for us, it's not as much about, you know, going from ride to ride to ride as it is about just hanging out in the parks and relaxing when we have a chance and sort of, you know, catching the easy to get in line for rides, like things like Jungle Cruise or Haunted Mansion, which usually don't have a crazy wait time.
Okay. Yeah. And see that now that makes this Thanksgiving trip sound a lot more manageable already. Right. Cause
yeah.
I think that it's really kind of made for that kind of attitude and kind of touring. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in then to this, you know, Wednesday early arrival. Where were you staying?
So our home resort is the Wilderness Lodge, or the Villas there.
Right.
And that was, we booked there, and we really wanted to see Wilderness Lodge at, you know, Christmas time. So we decided to just stay there, and that was going to be where we stayed.
Okay. And you had that early arrival. You took off at 6, so you were on the ground in Orlando. My goodness, had to be, you know, by 10 a.m.
Yeah, so we got into the resort. We actually had booked a town car, so we had decided not to do Magical Express for this trip.
Okay.
Because we sort of thought, gee, we could squeeze in that extra little bit of time when we thought we were getting in close to dinner time.
Right.
We thought, gee, maybe we can get an early dinner. And wow, you know, if we squeeze at the end, we can actually get a full day at the end because we were flying back really late. Whereas with Magical Express, you have that 3-hour window, right?
Well, and this is the beauty of the annual passes that, you know, if you can squeeze in half a day here, you know, that's great because it's not like you feel like you paid for a full day and didn't get to enjoy a full day. It's one of my favorite things about having an annual pass is, you know, that extra day at Diz Dad's convention in January where, you know, I could spend, even though it was only going to be a few hours in the park, you know, it's easier to do that kind of thing when you've got an annual pass in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we had to activate my son's pass, I think, but other than that, everything was good. It was really easy. And yeah, you don't feel like you're spending extra or wasting money if you don't spend enough time in the parks. And right. And so it just worked out really well that we could get in early and go do whatever we wanted.
Okay, so you got to Wilderness Lodge. You go to check in. Was your room ready early?
Yeah, I was shocked. They told us that our original room was going to be on the second floor, but they had a fourth floor room for us that was available. So, you know, we didn't mind being up a higher level. So they, you know, we stayed in a one bedroom suite, and it was just a nice, you know, the room refurb. This was the first time we had seen the refurbed rooms.
Right.
were absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, we had stayed in the old style rooms before, but this was the first time we saw the new refurbed one bedroom rooms, and they were just really, really nice.
So talk about some of those differences and what stood out to you about the refurbed rooms there at Wilderness Lodge, because I think that they were among the first that got some things in their refurb that are going to start showing up in some of the other, you know, DVC resorts one bedroom rooms as well as they get their turn.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. The layout was basically the same as it was before, but the patterns were just totally different. You know, they basically really cleaned up the look of the room. And so, you know, it went from this very dated, very pattern-heavy, dark-looking room to this really bright and airy, but still carrying the character of Wilderness Lodge. You know, still having some of the dark woods, still having some of that rustic feel, but lightening the color palette and just making it feel very open and warm.
Nice.
You know, one thing that was kind of interesting is, like I said, my wife and I had done a couples trip, and we had stayed in a studio just a month before, and the studio had the little the Murphy bed, right? The little Murphy bed under the television.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one bedroom doesn't have that.
Yeah, that is an interesting oddity of the way the refurbs of the. I guess it really is just of the one bedrooms that makes them different. Is that they didn't put in the. It's the TV credenza that doesn't have
exactly.
fold down in it.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the one bedroom layout, you know, you come into this little foyer with a coat closet, and as you come around the corner, there's a you know, a little laundry closet to your right, and a full kitchen to your left, and then that opens up to a living room with a pull out couch and a table, and then there's a balcony straight in front of you, and then if you take a right through some of the doors, you end up in a you know, divided bathroom that has a toilet area, and then it has a sink and tub area that's separate. The toilet and the shower is one area, and then the tub and the sink is a second area. And then that opens up into a big walk-in closet that goes with the master bedroom, and then a, you know, king-size bed master bedroom area as well. So it's just, it's plenty of space for our family of three. You could certainly see fitting four people in there. They say they can hold five, but there's really not a lot of places to sleep that fifth person.
Yeah, I think now I think the five assumes that you put two on the sofa bed, and then you've got one on that Murphy bed.
No, there's no
Murphy. But the Murphy bed's not there. That's right.
Yeah, so it's like they'll bring a cot in for that fifth person, which is
interesting. And there's not
weird.
A sleeper chair in there now?
No, there's not. Not in the Wilderness Lodge.
Huh. That's very interesting.
It is.
It would be tight to try to do five there. And it's strange because you can do five in the new deluxe studio.
Which is crazy, right? Because there's so much less space in that that deluxe studio.
Yeah.
It's too cramped, but it's just, in comparison, they're just, it's almost twice the size.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Okay. So you got one of the nice new refurbished rooms, which is great. And where do you head first? Well, first of all, had you seen Wilderness Lodge, you know, all decked out for the holidays before?
No, we hadn't. So this was our first time sort of getting to see that, you know, the giant Christmas tree in the lobby. And actually, there's a huge Christmas tree in the lobby of the main Wilderness Lodge, along with a bunch of decorations. But then the villas themselves have a secondary lobby because it's a separate building, and that has another Christmas tree over there that's not quite as big, but still really, really pretty. And then, I don't know how familiar you are with the, or the listeners are with the walkway from the lodge to the villas. It's outside, but it's this covered walkway, almost like a bridge.
Right.
And that had all sort of like, you know, garlands and lights hung up along that as well. So it really felt, one of the things we love about the lodge is that it really feels like you're not in Florida and you're not in New England either. You're kind of in the Pacific Northwest somewhere, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it does kind of transport you.
And so it's just this total getaway, which we loved. The one downside was the pool was closed for refurb, so we didn't get a chance to see the new pool set up. I guess they were supposed to open it right around Thanksgiving, but
yeah, it ended up
being
a little longer.
Yeah. So we got to peek through as they were working on the construction, but it was so cold during this trip that we wouldn't have been in the pool anyway.
Yeah. I was just glancing at it. It looks like the pool didn't reopen until the first week in December.
Yeah.
So they were running a couple of weeks behind.
Exactly.
Okay. So you got a chance to drink in all of that, you know, theming and all of that. How long did it take you to sprint for a park, and which one did you head for?
Well, let's see. We got our bags up to the room, and we got our owner's locker delivered up to the room within probably 45 minutes. So this is something that is going to be a recurring theme. Everything seems to take a little bit longer at Thanksgiving. So instead of taking 10 or 15 minutes for Bell Services to bring stuff up, it took them 45 minutes to get stuff up to our room.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think, you know, you just have, if you're going at this time of year, you just have to be patient.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that when everything is operating at, you know, 95% capacity instead of 90% capacity, that 5% is a really important 5%.
Exactly, exactly. So we had scheduled dinner at California Grill that evening, and then we had some fast passes set up for later that night because we thought we were going to get in around then.
Sure.
But Magic Kingdom was supposed to be open till midnight, so we figured we could fit some stuff in. But we decided to just go over to Magic Kingdom because the boat's right there. It's easy. We don't have to go too far. So I don't know. We probably got to Magic Kingdom. I think we ended up going right over to Magic Kingdom and looking for something kind of quick service for lunch over there.
Okay. Okay, so you were in the Magic Kingdom probably by around noon at this point.
Exactly. So it was kind of crazy considering we weren't even thinking about leaving New England originally until 2 o'clock.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
So it was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you doing now in the Magic Kingdom? And really, you know, this is the day before Thanksgiving. What was the crowd level like there in the middle of the day in the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, shockingly, the crowds weren't that bad the day before Thanksgiving. This was sort of our day of not crazy crowds. And so we just kind of hung out and looked at a whole bunch of stuff. And we actually were walking by, and we noticed that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train had a 45-minute wait. And we had a fast pass, and we'll come back to this. I'm foreshadowing a little bit.
Okay.
For Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the last full day we were there. But we hadn't had a chance to try it yet. And we figured, well, what the heck? We'll stand in line and give it a shot.
Okay.
So we actually had a chance to stay there. It took a little longer than we expected because I think the fast pass line started getting pretty busy.
Sure.
But we got a chance to ride it. And we also had Memory Maker for the trip.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool how, as part of riding that, they not only get you your ride pictures automatically, but they also, like, added a full video of us going on the Mine Train.
Yeah, those are really fun. You know, they've got them now on Mine Train and on Tower of Terror. Mm-hmm. And we keep hearing rumors that we're going to get a couple more of those, you know, sort of short on-ride videos that'll become part of Memory Maker. I know I've heard that they did a lot of testing on Expedition Everest, and they really want to do an on-ride video on Everest, but they're having nightmares with the shadows.
That'll be really cool if they do figure that out. I mentioned my wife wasn't much of a thrill ride person.
Right.
And so I talked her into, this was probably a bad choice on my part, but I talked her into riding this with us, saying, oh, you know, it's not too crazy. It's like a family coaster. It should be good. And so we got on the ride and, she was absolutely terrified for the entire ride.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so going back to that video, it's sort of a painful reminder not to bring my wife on a roller coaster.
Well, but now you have a video, so you won't make that mistake again.
Exactly. I can always look back and remember that that's a really poor choice on my part.
So now, what did you think of the ride? Because you said you hadn't had a chance to do it before.
Yep. So the queue was, let's start with the queue, right? So we were in the queue for a good hour.
Yeah.
And that first, like, 30 minutes in the queue was pretty boring. It was just, you know, standing outside, you know, looking at the details, which was pretty nice. But there's only so much to do. But once you got into that, you know, final 30 minutes of the queue, it was actually pretty interesting. You know, they had the games to play right in the queue, the interactive pieces
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Some different pieces and then some cool surprises inside as well. But once we got on the ride, I mean, it was short, but, you know, I had heard enough ride through commentary that I kind of expected it to be short.
Right.
And it was interesting. I mean, it wasn't a crazy thrill ride roller coaster, but it was fun and the details were awesome. And you know, the ride through the end there where you get to see the dwarves and, you know, in their,
Right, in the cottage.
Yeah, in their cottage, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's interesting because when I finally had a chance to ride it in January, and I had just missed it the year before. I was there in April, like 2 weeks before the attraction opened.
Yeah, we did the same thing.
And so I finally got to ride it in January, and I noticed, because we rode once in the very back and once in the very front, and the end of the attraction is very different. Because if you're in the front car, you end up when you know where the train pulls to a stop is actually kind of all the way past the cottage itself.
Oh.
Right? The front car is kind of even where...
So you'd miss a lot of it.
Well, I mean, it's in, you have a different perspective because you kind of look over there and you don't see as much of the detail of what's going on inside the cottage, but there's the hag animatronic is right there in front. So you're right next to the witch. And you get the close-up view of that. And if you're in the back, you can't really see the witch because she's around the corner in front of the house. But you can see into the cottage. So it's one of those where it was kind of worth it to ride at both ends because it was a little bit different experience each time.
I can totally see that. We were in the back of the car, so we got to see into the cottage. And you're right. I almost didn't remember the hag. I mean, now that you mention it, I remember she was there. But it wasn't, you know, in your face kind of thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, you don't see her at all, like I said, if you're in the back because she's kind of around the corner.
Yep.
Okay, so you rode Mine Train, liked the queue, got your view of the attraction. What other things kind of stood out about that first night there in the park?
So we ended up doing dinner at California Grill at 5:30, so we left the park, did California Grill, and got to see the castle light up for the first time, which was pretty cool. And then we went back that evening and did our first of many rides on Jungle Cruise, or Jingle Cruise, I guess, at that point.
Yes.
And so, you know, that just, it just ratchets up the corniness of that ride and makes it fantastic, even more than it already is.
Yes. It is a different experience when it's the Jingle Cruise.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of even worse jokes than usual.
Okay. And now you mentioned that you had this dinner at California Grill.
Yep.
So how was your California Grill meal? Had you been there since the refurb of California Grill?
We had, yeah. We had gone in April as well.
Okay.
The last trip we were there. And, you know, I think California Grill, it's not one of our favorite food restaurants, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
But the location and the view is fantastic, and it's just a nice place to go. The food's not terrible. It's not bad. It's just not. I don't know. I tend to like things like Gico or Artist Point a little bit more. So,
okay. So it's a little heartier fine dining, I think, at Gico and
exactly.
Artist Point, as opposed to California Grill, which is more you know, the California cuisine kind of thing. That's a little
exactly
lighter, and fish and all that kind of thing. Makes
but
sense.
Still really, really good. Just less my style, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that. And where were you seated? Could you get a good view of the, you know, lit up kingdom and all the decorations and things?
We could. There was a big table between us and the window, but we were in one of those booths. So when you come into California Grill, you go by the bar and you take a right. So we had a view through one of the windows, and so we did get to see the castle light up, and it was pretty. It wasn't as detailed as if we were right at one of the windows, but it was still really nice.
Okay. And were you there, you know, during fireworks? Did you head back for fireworks? How was that? How did that work out?
Yeah, it was 5:30 to probably 7:30 or so, which was just after the castle lighting.
Okay.
And so there were, you know, there's just a couple of fireworks with the castle lighting, the one or two they fire off.
Right.
And then we went back and did some rides and then caught the fireworks and the electrical parade and then went back home to bed.
Okay. And were they doing the holiday wishes show or the regular wishes show at that point?
Just regular wishes. We were hoping to catch a Christmas party, but they weren't doing any of them while we were there because of the holiday.
Right, right. Yeah, there's
something. We missed it by a day on each end.
Of course. Okay. So that was kind of a great bonus day in Magic Kingdom. You know, you got a full day worth, really, of touring and a great meal at California Grill and fireworks, the whole bit.
Yep.
So what's on the docket for Thanksgiving Day?
So we had done a lot of, I had done a lot of research about what the right thing to do on Thanksgiving Day, and I had read a lot of intimidating stuff about how crowded everything would be.
Right.
And one of the things I had read was that Animal Kingdom was totally dead on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
So, and the other thing I had sort of thought was, well, gee, you know, we've always wanted to do a lot of these sort of tours and experiences. So if we could find one that would fit on Thanksgiving, that would be a really great way to sort of get away from some of the crowds.
Right.
So we had actually signed up, the three of us, to do the Wild Africa Trek, which is the 3-hour safari,
right.
You know, the where you actually get to go walk behind the scenes and walk over the rope bridge and
it's sort of the Animal Kingdom backstage magic.
Yeah. Yep. So we needed to be there at 9:15 for that.
Okay.
So I actually, again, sort of just trying to take all of the Disney transport headache out of things. For this one, I knew I needed to be there early, so I scheduled a cab to pick us up. And when we woke up in the morning, my wife actually wasn't feeling well, so she chose not to come with us that morning.
Okay.
So it was just my son and I that got over to Animal Kingdom. We got there about 9 o'clock, so things were open, and we walked right back to Wild Africa Trek.
Yeah, now, you mentioned your son is about 11, am I remembering correctly?
Yep, that's right.
So what's the age limit there on Wild Africa Trek? I was curious about that.
You know, I want to say it's 9 or so. I can look it up for you.
Well, no, it's just interesting because I think that it's one of the few tours that you can do that goes backstage but will allow kids who are younger than about 16 to be a part of it. And I think that's really cool. So
yeah. So participants have to be 8 years and at least 4 feet tall.
Okay. So 8 years old, 4 feet tall.
And 45 pounds.
And 45 pounds. So talk to us about this tour. Maybe that'll help us understand why that size requirement.
Yeah. So the first thing they do when you get in there is they have you sign your life away saying you're not going to sue Disney if you die.
Right. If you're eating my lion, it's your own damn fault.
Yeah. Though I think crocodiles and hippopotamuses would be more likely.
Yes.
Given the trek. So you go in and you suit up and they give you this entire almost climbing setup. So my son and I have sort of just on occasion gone to the indoor rock climbing sort of places.
Yeah, sure.
And you know the harnesses that you put on for indoor rock climbing?
Right.
They basically had that built into a safari vest where they hooked you up and they had the full, leg harnesses and a full vest with all the stuff that they put you in. And they basically told you anything you can't tie to this vest, you have to leave in a locker. So your cell phone, you had to leave in a locker. If your camera didn't have a lanyard that you could attach to the vest, it had to stay in a locker. Anything else, wedding rings, watches, anything else that could be loose had to come off. And they suited you up in this vest, which I think is where the size requirements comes from. My son is a very small 11-year-old, and he probably weighs about 60 pounds, and they had to pull out the smallest size vest for him.
Okay. Well, that would make sense then.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing about making sure that your items can be secured is really important, because I know that this tour is really popular among people who like to take photographs at Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
Just be really, really conscious if you're bringing your camera and, you know, that's what you're there to do. Little things like, think about the fact that your lens cap shouldn't be a loose lens cap, right? One that if it pops off, it's gone.
Yeah, so I ended up, well, so you can, I think you could probably, I don't know if you could get your camera if you put it to the side for the second half of the trek. Really, the harnesses and everything were for the first half.
Right.
I just want to go back. So I mentioned my wife was sick, and so we had to prepay for this.
Oh, right.
And the folks there were fantastic. This was not an inexpensive thing. In peak season, it was like $250 a person. And so when we got there and I mentioned that my wife was feeling ill, I totally didn't expect this, but they came out and refunded our price for her, which was just unbelievable. I really didn't expect that at all. So that was a really nice bonus for us.
Yeah, that's terrific, because that is, as you mentioned, not an inexpensive tour.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But, you know, and we didn't expect that. So I obviously really appreciated that. So I had just a point-and-shoot camera that has a pretty good zoom lens on it that I had brought with me that I wanted to take pictures with. But, yeah, if I had brought my SLR, there's lots of things that can fall off on that, and it probably wouldn't work out well.
Yeah.
Plus, it would be pretty difficult to carry through some of the stuff that you do on this trek.
Right. So talk to us about some of that so that people have some context here.
Yep. So we started on like the Panjani Trail, you know, where you go through and you normally would look at like the lions and stuff, or the leopards, right?
Yeah.
Stuff
leopard,
like that.
Isn't that also the trail where you would see the gorillas?
Yep.
Okay.
So before that, we actually, they basically set us all up with headsets, so the tour guide would be talking and we'd hear it in our ears. And so we went off trail almost immediately. You know, we looked at some of the monkeys and stuff, and then went off trail and met up with the first people we met up with were actually the hippo trainers.
Interesting.
So, you know, when you take the safari, you drive by the hippopotamus area, and the hippos are usually, you know, either out or in or whatever, but, you know, you just drive by. So we got a chance to actually talk to the folks that take care of the hippos, and they also clipped us into the harnesses over sort of a cliff that hangs out over the hippos, where you could sort of walk out and get just this incredible view looking down on the hippos.
Cool.
The other thing that comes along with the trek, even if you don't have Memory Maker, is the tour guides, they basically assign you two dedicated tour guides for the whole, that are just with your group. And so there was, our group was, I think, 10 people total.
Okay.
So we had two guides for 10 people, and they spend the entire time taking photos, and those photos you get to download through a different system at the end of the tour.
Oh, very nice. It's like a dedicated Memory Maker almost just for the tour.
Exactly. So I think we probably got, you know, 150 photos for our group, or more, you know, just from them taking photos of us as well as of the animals. So even if you didn't have a camera, you weren't going to miss everything.
Yeah, really. Sounds like it.
So was that really cool? We went out, we saw the hippos, they described who the hippos were to us. You know, all these animals have names. They were talking about the fact that the two hippos that we were seeing at the time were father and son, and they were out sunning each other and basically getting a sunburn. And they'd move into the water in a little bit. They were actually lying out on the land, which was pretty rare for them.
Yeah, right.
So that was pretty cool. And then, you know, we continued along the walking after that. And sort of the next big thing that I guess if you look at the Wild Africa Trek, you see pictures of this, is you get to go and walk across both the other hippo section as well as across the crocodile section of the safari. So where the crocodiles are all just hanging out, you're actually on this rickety rope bridge. It looks rickety. It bounces a lot. And it's missing a lot of slats, but it's all intentional. So it's
okay. So it's
actually
part of the
very
theme.
Sturdy. It is, yeah. And they have you hooked up in that harness to a safety line just in case something happened. But you walk across that bridge. Well, you get to take pictures, and they take pictures of you and as the wildlife and everything else.
Okay.
And so actually, it was. You know, it ended up working out really well. You know, my son and I got a chance to go across, and I got a chance to get some video of him coming across the bridge afterwards, because I had gone first. So as I was waiting for him after, it was pretty cool. And we got a chance to just kind of hang out over the crocodiles and look at them for a little bit.
Neat. And see, it's probably a good thing that you maybe didn't do like a day at Gatorland on the front. You know,
yep.
So that you hadn't seen just how high those things will leap for food.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were. It was really interesting again to just watch them and to listen to the folks that take care of them tell us about, you know, what their normal behavior is and how much they eat and sort of all these just really interesting facts about the animals.
Sure, sure. So that's probably, you know, the important part about the vests and harnesses and everything, because they've got you, you know, first off trail, second of all, you know, this sort of trek across the crocodile habitat. So talk to us about kind of the second half of the tour, you know, after you get across the rickety bridge.
Yeah. So the next thing they do is they load you into sort of a private safari vehicle, right? So if you've done the safari before and you take that safari and you see the truck that's sort of parked off to the side sometimes with people in it, or sometimes it's parked and the people are up on, I think they call it the Boma, right? The safe place. It's the same name as one of the two restaurants at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
There's this, structure in the middle of the savannah that they have that they actually feed you lunch at.
Nice.
You know, so you get your own private safari, and they're allowed to pull over to the side while other vehicles go by. So you really get a chance to get up close and get some really great views of, in our case, like the giraffes, and some of the lions. And then they basically take you to this structure that's out in the middle of savannah for, I don't know, probably about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and they feed you a light breakfast or lunch, I guess, depending on whatever you'd call that particular food. It was like, you know, prosciutto and sort of some smoked salmon type stuff, and just little appetizers, and then hot chocolate or pog juice. You had your choice.
Okay.
And the food was delicious, and honestly, the hot chocolate was really good. Again, it was really cold for this trip. Like the night times were down in the 40s.
Yeah. Well, this whole winter, really starting with late fall, obviously, has been at least at times unseasonably cold in Orlando, and it's been repeated. I mean, it came up in November, it came up again for a little while in December. It was chilly when we were there, you know, marathon weekend in January, and you know, last weekend for the Princess Half Marathon, it was, you know, in the, you know, below the 40s when people were getting ready to run that half.
Yeah, I saw something on some news site about it being the 5K they had, the frozen 5K, was the coldest day at Disney in you know, several years.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got a chance to actually see one of the rhinoceri that was like, so there's this walkway that you can go over that hangs out over where the rhinoceroses are.
Okay.
And he was charging back and forth, and we got to see that, which was pretty cool. And so we had our lunch, and we got back on the truck afterwards and finished up the safari. And, you know, all told, it was just over 3 hours of a tour. You know, like I said, and they would answer any questions you had, and sort of just a fantastic, you know, experience to do.
It sounds like this is definitely something that you would recommend others do.
Yeah, I definitely would, especially if you like sort of that. If you're into the wildlife and into Animal Kingdom as a whole, like, you just got this really cool, view that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Sure, sure. And I mean, that to me is what makes a tour worthwhile. I mean, some of the tours, the trivia information is nice, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to find myself, you know, reading various things that I read anyway.
Yep.
I'm not sure that the same is true for things like this Wild Africa Trek, where, you know, the context, where you are when you hear the information is so important.
Yeah, and, you know, you just don't get that sort of time. You would have had to ride the safari 5 times to see all the things we saw in the time that we were there. So it's just, as well as it's just much more personalized. If you have a question, you can ask it and they'll answer. You know, hey, what do you feed the hippos? Or how do you get them to come in at night? Were the kinds of questions that people would ask, and the trainers had answers for all that stuff. You know, they explained how all the animals are trained to 2 different calls, and, you know, one is an emergency call, one's a, you know, non-emergency call, and so the animals know, at least the smarter ones know, that they should hurry in versus not hurry in, and all that sort of stuff.
Right, right, right. Okay. So the tour is about 3 hours. You started at 9 o'clock. So, you know, you're finishing up this tour really right around lunchtime.
Yep. And we had just had that snack. So
yeah, you just had a pretty good sized snack as part of the tour. So what are you doing? You and your son, you know, just the guys hanging at Animal Kingdom on Thanksgiving Day.
Going on Primeval World, maybe on Everest, but the wait times were really starting to pick up, and we had my wife and my son really love the Garden View Tea Room, the afternoon tea that they do there. At the Grand Floridian. So we had booked tea for 2 because I couldn't find a reservation for 3. And again, this is another one of those things. We booked a lot of our reservations early,
right.
And we couldn't get more. So, you know, I wanted to tweak things or change them or move them, you know, a little bit, and it just wasn't possible. So the fact that we had them booked early was really important on this trip.
Sounds like it.
So we headed back to the room, kind of hung out for a little bit, relaxed, picked my wife up, and we went over to the Grand Floridian, and got to see, you know, got there a little bit early and got to see sort of how everything was all decked out, decorated for the holidays there.
The Grand Floridian is pretty grand for the holidays. I mean, they've got that huge atrium and they really take advantage of it. You know, the enormous tree is one thing, but that gingerbread house gets me every time.
That was so cool. I had heard the gingerbread house. And we had walked through the Contemporary at one point. Up until this point, we saw their gingerbread house display. But it just wasn't the same as the Grand Floridian, where they had people in the gingerbread house selling you gingerbread cookies.
Yeah, and did you hang around and watch long enough to see the smoke actually come out of the chimney?
Yeah, that was just so cool.
That always blows me away. It's like,
yep, that was awesome.
All right, so you went to tea at the Grand Floridian. Now, this is another thing that I don't think that many guys have had the opportunity to experience. So talk a little bit about the tea at the Grand Floridian, what's included in it, and what's the experience.
It's not exactly the most masculine of activities, I suppose. You go to the restaurant, and they sit you down in the Garden View Tea Room, which is on the first floor there, sort of by the window at the back of the lobby.
I'm glad you mentioned where it is, because it's one of those things that it's kind of a little hidden gem, because it's a really nice little space. mm-hmm. But if you didn't go there looking for it, you probably wouldn't stumble upon it.
No, and it overlooks the grounds right there, so they sort of seat you in nice, comfortable seats, sometimes on couches, sometimes at a table, and they bring you a tea menu, and there's, you know, all sorts of different types of tea, and you can also have your choice of libations and snacky type courses to go along with it, and the one we usually end up with is sort of traditional sandwiches and scones. Coffee and sort of dessert, a trifle or some pastries.
Okay. And so it's interesting to me that, that, you know, this is your Thanksgiving lunch pretty much. At this
point. It was. And I mentioned Art's Point earlier, sort of one of our favorite restaurants as a family. And we had dinner reservation there at 9:00.
Talk to me about it. Did they do a special menu for Thanksgiving?
Special sort of pre-fee menu where you picked, you know, they had some of their regular courses, but then they also had this delicious smoked turkey dinner, which is what I ordered. You know, you had an appetizer, a dinner, and a dessert that, that came with it.
Okay.
So it was Thanksgiving dinner, sort of fancy Disney style. So you got smoked turkey breast and, you know, stuffing and potatoes, but all in this very nicely arranged sort of smoky, almost bacony flavored package.
Bacony.
Yeah, it was really good. My son had sort of the, I think he had the bison three ways. So they had bison sausage and a bison steak, and I think it was bison mac and cheese.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, and I actually don't remember what my wife got. She may have also gotten the turkey that night.
Okay. So how was it as a Thanksgiving dinner? You know, one of the concerns I get from people who say, you know, we thought about doing it, but, and they, their response is, we thought about doing it, but somehow we didn't think it would feel like Thanksgiving.
I would say it wasn't quite a traditional Thanksgiving, but we were, you know, we knew that we weren't going to do the traditional hang around with family, watch football, and stuff ourselves on turkey sort of day.
Okay.
So it was still definitely Thanksgiving. I ended up with a nice beer and this delicious turkey dinner and was happy. And we were thinking about going back to the Magic Kingdom because they were open till 2 a.m. that night.
Right.
But we were just beat at the end of the day. It was a pretty busy day.
Sure.
I actually didn't mention in between lunch and dinner, we went over to Hollywood Studios too. So,
oh, wow.
We got to see the Osborne family lights and, which we can come back to. We went back to that again a second time, but,
okay.
So we had a really full packed day.
Sounds like,
and yeah, it was pretty busy.
All right. So this was all, I mean, we've been talking for a while now, and this was all packed into the first 2 days of your trip.
Yep.
Now you still had two more full park days figured in, right?
Yep, we did.
So let's try and do kind of highlights here. And you were talking about Hollywood Studios and that, you know, you went back and did a second full experience with Osborne. So why don't we talk, you know, generally about Hollywood Studios and what things, you know, stood out to you during this trip about the studios? I mean, obviously we're going to talk here some about, you know, the Osborne Family Lights display. Had you seen it at all before?
No, we hadn't seen that at all.
Okay. So it was your first experience with the Osborne Lights. And then, you know, anything else about Hollywood Studios on this trip that really stood out to you?
Well, Goofy as Santa was pretty awesome. Just as a character, he was, you know, one of the best character interactions we've ever had.
Okay.
Just, you know, really high energy, lots of fun. That was on the good side. On the downside, we were in the beginnings of Construction Palooza there.
Okay.
And Tower of Terror broke down, so we had a fast pass for Tower of Terror, but it ended up breaking down for 2 hours while we were in line. So,
ouch.
You know, they gave us a "you can use this fast pass anywhere" sort of thing, but there was nowhere we really wanted to use it.
Sure.
It wasn't good at Toy Story. And we had already been to Rock and Roller Coaster, and we already had fast passes at Star Tours, which didn't have much of a wait. So there really wasn't a lot to use it at.
Right.
So for us, the big stuff at Hollywood Studios was really the lights and Star Tours.
Okay. So talk about the lights a little bit, because this was your first experience with them. So, you know, what did you think of it?
Oh, I mean... You know, it was a really cool way to kick off the Christmas season. Sort of going in and just, you know, they sort of had all the touches.
you know, there's just lights everywhere. It's sort of this, you really have to be there to experience it, to be able to put it to words. you know, that's the Streets of America area, right? That they right. do that in.
Yeah.
And there are just lights everywhere. And there's fake snow coming down, and there's music blaring, and there's things blinking. And it was really, really crowded. I guess, again, just going back to sort of that theme. So you just had to be content watching it and kind of moving slowly through the streets of America.
Yeah, yeah. It is, you know, this. It's almost overwhelming. You just kind of get absorbed by it.
Yep. Just, and we just sat there and stared as we walked slowly for a good 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the best way to really appreciate it, is just to spend the time to absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any dining at Hollywood Studios, or were you just there, you know, to kind of hit a few attractions and then move on?
Yeah, we were just there to hit a couple attractions and move on.
Okay, okay. So you've talked. We talked about Magic Kingdom experiences. We talked
yep.
about Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spend any time at Epcot on this trip?
We did. We did. So the next day, the 28th, we basically set up as our Epcot day, and we did the dining package for. This was the first candlelight processional.
Okay.
That they had, and so we got the dining package for that. We did Rose and Crown lunch, and got our preferred seating for the candlelight processional.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned it was really, really cold, and those benches are metal that you get to sit on. And you know, it was an interesting experience. I don't know that we would do it again with the crowds the way they were.
Sure.
It was very hectic and. Sort of, you know, when we look back at all the different things we did, that was one that it was fun, but it wasn't something that I would. I was glad to do it once, but I don't think I'd do it a second time.
Sure, sure. Now, who is your? Do you remember who your narrator was?
Yeah, it was Jody Benson.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, she was fantastic. Just really animated, really energetic. I don't even think that was it. It was just the you know, it was so crowded, and on such a cold night,
yeah,
sitting
sure.
still for that long was really difficult.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. I can understand that completely.
And so you got to remember, I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm pretty used to the cold.
Yeah, but somehow it feels different because it's not supposed to be cold. Like that.
And you don't really pack for cold weather when you go to Disney as much.
Right. True, true. And, you know, it's the little things. Like, say you made the mistake of thinking it, you know, seemed warmer that day and you wore shorts. Good luck finding a pair of pants.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. That's pretty much what happened to me. I had a sweatshirt, but it just didn't quite do it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it is about Disney. They don't sell men's pants in the
no.
theme parks.
Nope. You can go to the Grand Floridian, I think, but that might be the closest place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there are a couple of places where if you look hard enough, you can find a pair of sweatpants, but it's not easy.
Yep. So we did dinner that night at Le Cellier, okay. which was delicious. We had never been there before. You know, it was a good steakhouse. Again, I don't know that I'd rate it in my top of steakhouses around, but it was a great experience and a pretty cool place to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, got to have your Canadian Thanksgiving too.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, they had a couple of nice whiskey flights that sort of made dinner a lot more fun.
Ah, well, definitely. Definitely. Big fan of whiskey flight.
Yep, exactly. So that was all the parks, really.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Talk to me maybe just a little bit overall, you know, big picture stuff about this trip. First of all, any other, you know, Disney World experiences on this trip that kind of stand out to you looking back?
Yeah. The other thing we didn't talk about, but we did was we went over to Fort Wilderness for the trail ride that they have over there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So my son is a horseback rider. So he's been riding for like 4 or 5 years now competitively. And he's, you know, so we actually own a horse up here in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
And so he had always thought it would be fun to go on the trail rides. And my wife is learning to ride. So we thought that we would sign up and do that. And that was just an awesome experience. Again, just something really unique that was a lot of fun to do.
Sure. Sounds like it. And it would be nice that time of year. You know, did you notice were the campers and things decorated already by Thanksgiving?
Some of them were. So I'm a runner, so pretty much every morning, one of the things I love about the Wilderness Lodge is they have the exercise path that goes from the lodge over to the campgrounds.
Right.
And so I can get a good, you know, like 4 to 5 mile loop between the two resorts. And so I got a chance to see them. But when you're on the trail ride, you actually don't go by many of the campers. They okay. take you through a bunch of sort of the back trails that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
I see. All right. So what did you think of the trail ride? I mean, I always wonder people who are more experienced riders, you know, if it's a disappointment because it's pretty basic and slow, you know, or if it was an enjoyable trail ride.
You know, I think my son likes being around horses because he just likes horses.
Sure.
And so for him, he wasn't bored or disappointed by it.
Great.
It was Western style as opposed to English, which is sort of like mountain biking versus road biking. So it's not exactly what he's used to doing.
Sure.
So it was a little interesting and different. One thing that actually confused us at the first is there are two Circle D ranches. There's the one up by where the bus stop is, you know, by the main bus stop if you take the shuttle bus in.
Okay.
And that's where the trail ride is. And then there's a second one down by that's down over by the beach or by the central hall and everything where, like, the hoop-de-doo is.
Okay.
That's not where the trail ride is.
Ah.
And so we had walked over from the Wilderness Lodge, and that walking path comes out over by the Circle D that isn't the right one.
Yes, you needed the one that was farther away.
Yeah, and they were really clear when we made the reservation to be there a half hour ahead of time or they'd leave without you.
Uh-oh.
That wasn't the case. We found someone and they gave us a ride up to the other ranch. But we didn't actually start our whole safety talk and everything else that we were supposed to start till about 5 minutes before the trail ride started.
Yeah. You know, I have to guess that happens frequently enough that's why they tell you have to be there half hour ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were pretty nervous about being late and they were going to leave without us, but, it wasn't really a reason to be worried about it. It was just, a lot of fun to get a chance to do that again, just sort of a really unique, fun thing to do that we'd never done before.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds great. So let's kind of, try and circle up and, you know, do the little summary pieces we like to do here at the end. And as I started to ask before we remembered about the trail ride, you know, thinking big picture, what were the, you know, maybe two or three things about this trip that really stand out in your mind thinking back about it?
Well, you know, the crowds were certainly something that, you know, we had experienced Easter at the Magic Kingdom or at Disney World before, and that's pretty crowded, but, Thanksgiving was a lot more crowded. So, you just really be ready to just take it easy and, think about ways to make your life easier. So if you have a reservation that you have to get there for, you know, maybe consider doing an Uber car or a taxi cab to get there instead of Disney Transit, because everything took longer than it should, and sometimes way longer than we would have imagined.
Sure. Good point. But
just doing those couple of things, knowing where that kind of stuff was, made it sort of a breeze to get through.
Yeah.
You know, and the decorations were fantastic. Every resort we went to, every park we went to was just decked out for the holidays. And so being able to see all the Christmas trees and the Christmas decorations and, you know, all that stuff was a really great way to sort of kick off the season.
Okay, great. And then I guess the last thing I would say, and we got a little bit of this just a second ago there where you were talking about, you know, maybe looking into alternative transportation from the airport so you're not stuck waiting for Magical Express because everything takes a little longer. But, you know, any other sort of tips, and I'm really thinking particularly in terms of planning tips because, you know, people who are looking at doing this kind of trip, this is right around the corner. So, you know, what kind of advanced planning tips would you have for somebody who's getting ready and thinking about doing this kind of a trip maybe for, you know, Thanksgiving 2015?
So, you know, I think the thing for us that made this work was just we got in, we planned pretty early. You know, so with DVC, we got our reservations, I think, like 10 months in advance. We could have gone as far as 11, but right. We were at about 10. And we got our reservations pretty early. It wasn't at the full, you know, 180 days. It was probably 120 days out that I got the reservations.
Okay.
So we didn't get exactly everything we wanted. But you know,
nice
that was
to
sort
hear
of the
is that even at 120 days, there were some nice options available.
And even like that tea time that I mentioned we got on Thanksgiving, we got that a month ahead of time. So that was only 30 days out that we were able to find that.
Okay.
So don't give up hope. Just keep looking. You will find things. But you might not get that thing that you thought you had to have. Just kind of roll with what's available. Maximize the time you have. Really just enjoy the decorations. You can, you know, if this is your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Disney and you decide to do it at Thanksgiving, it's going to be hard to cram everything in. But if you're used, you know, if you go frequently or even occasionally, use this to really soak in the decorations and the resorts and take advantage of some of those trips and tours to sort of get out of the crowds for a little bit, because those were some of the two most relaxing sections of the trip. We just didn't have a lot of crowds. We didn't have a lot of people. We just kind of relax and hang out and have fun.
Yeah, you know, those two little bits, to me, that it was like an epiphany moment almost, because that makes so much sense. And I think that just those couple little kind of almost getaway experiences, I mean, you know, you do that Wild Africa trek and you're with, you know, 10 other people. You do the horseback riding and you're with, you know, a dozen other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a different, such a contrast to the usual, you know, Thanksgiving crowd that I have to imagine that kind of makes, you know, the whole trip much more relaxed and enjoyable, even when you're in the context of, you know, later spending an hour at Osborne Lights in, you know, a shoulder-to-shoulder crowd.
Yep, absolutely. You know, it gives you that breathing space and it gives you that chance to just sort of enjoy the trip for what it is, as opposed to trying to force something that it can't be.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this trip with us. We're going to have you back soon and have you talk some more about the solo trip or the adults trip that you took with your wife, because I'm really intrigued to hear more about that one as well. But I've enjoyed chatting about your Thanksgiving trip. So thanks for coming on and sharing.
Thanks for having me on, Aaron. It was a lot of fun.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one.
Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable